James Olicovich speaking. I spent 8.5 years in Chicago, and Yeshiva was in, was called then the Beis Medrash LaTorah. It's still called that now. It's known as Skokie.
Right.
But it was the only Yeshiva in Chicago at that time. Tells Chicago did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing from Chicago to the Pacific Ocean. There was no other Yeshiva. There was, you know, the Cleveland, Baltimore, but that's it.
Oh,
they're east of Chicago.
What about Detroit? Didn't have Chachma Lublin?
No, maybe, I don't know, but it was just, it wasn't on the map,
mm-hmm.
sort of.
What year are we talking about?
1946.
Oh, boy.
It was right after the war.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Milchama, the war with the Japan ended in 1945.
Right.
And this was 1946, and I came from Canada,
uh-huh.
and I came from a public school.
Uh-huh.
We had no yeshiva there. In,
a lot of people told me the same thing.
In Ottawa, this was in Ottawa.
Ottawa.
But I went to a cheder.
In Ottawa.
In Ottawa, yeah, I went to a cheder.
Amazing.
And, we started learning Gemara there in the cheder. We were 10 years old, we started learning Gemara in a cheder. It was a regular cheder. We went after school, like from younger years.
But it wasn't a Talmud Torah. It was a cheder.
No, it was it was called officially a Talmud Torah.
Uh-huh.
And in the younger years, you went from 4 to 6. You know, school ended like a quarter to 4.
Yeah.
So, and then the older groups went from 6:15 to 8.
Mm-hmm. At night.
At night, yeah, this was the night, yeah. And glad it was, you know, an old, more of an old-fashioned Talmud Torah. We had the Talmud Torah, we had a Chalamoyed, mm-hmm. we had Talmud Torah in the summer even,
mm-hmm.
for I think 1 month or at least half the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, Gemara, you know what we learned there? Talmud Torah, I think we learned the first year, we learned Hasoicher, Hasoicher Zeumnim.
Was that Bob Metzia?
Yeah, Bob Metzia, yeah. We only used to learn twice a week for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the second year, we learned it again. Chazit had learned it or something like that.
Well, twice a week for an hour for a kid sometimes is as good as the whole week.
Yeah.
Because our kids dream half the time.
Yeah. And then the third year, we learned Habayis V'Aliyah,
mm-hmm.
the last paragraph of Bob Metzia.
Uh-huh.
That was till Bar Mitzvah, and then, you know, Bar Mitzvah, you... But after my Bar Mitzvah, I was supposed to go to Yeshiva after my Bar Mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to go myself.
Right.
I didn't have anybody else to go with at that time, and there was another Bocher that was going to go to Yeshiva, and but he wasn't. He was a year younger than me. So he was going to go the following year, so I stayed. I went to public high school, and I had a private Rebbe for that year.
What did your father do?
My father was in the business in those years. He was in the wholesale fruit, groceries. And my Zeta was a Choshev Eid. My Zeta was a Boki Bashas.
Uh-huh. From where?
From Litta.
Which city?
I came from a small shtetl of Olkenik. It was called Olkenik.
Uh-huh.
And,
In Litta
or
White Russia?
No, no, it was either Litta or, you know, a Litta-Polish border.
Uh-huh.
It was in Vilna, in Vilna Guber.
Oh, Vilna, so it was in the Vilna section.
Right, right. Yeah.
Okay, I was there.
You what?
Yeah, I was there.
You were there, yeah?
I was in Baden, Vilna, Kovna.
Oh, you went on that tour.
Yeah, I went there with Baranovich, Mir, Volozhin, Holbert. Yeah.
So what happened was the father of this other Bocher,
yeah.
He was the Rav in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And there was Ben, there was only one Rav. There were like five shuls, but there was a Rav of the Kehillah.
Uh-huh.
To circulate, you know, circulate from one shul to the other. They were like Shreinim. They lived about a block away from us. So when he became Bar Mitzvah, that's when we were supposed to go. And meanwhile, right before he became Bar Mitzvah, his father became the vice president of the yeshiva in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So that's what swung my parents to send me to Chicago.
So he moved, the Rav moved to Chicago.
Yeah, he moved there. Yeah, he did move, yeah. That's what swung my parents to send me to Chicago rather than to New York. New York was half the distance.
Uh-huh.
Because there was somebody there that would keep an eye on me, you know. Uh-huh. So when he moved out, like, in, I say, after Pesach, and then I went the following September, September.
Mm-hmm. So what year was that?
1946.
1946.
Yeah. And the fact his father picked me up at the railroad station. Oh, you don't know what kind of trip it was. Like a 23-hour trip by train.
Crazy.
You know, you had to go from Ottawa to Toronto. And then it was from Toronto to Chicago, but it went through, you know, the train went through Detroit. And it was a long trip, but it was
so New York would be much shorter.
Yeah, much shorter. Half the distance, come on.
Yeah. I've been in Ottawa.
Yeah?
Yep.
What were you doing there?
Business.
What kind of business?
Well, computers.
Uh-huh.
I was from the Army. Yeah. I worked for the Army.
So you stayed there?
I stayed there for about 2-3 days.
Where?
I stayed in a hotel downtown. I don't remember the name of it.
No.
But I stopped and there was a shul, Young Israel, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's a little further out west, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Rav was Lubavitcher.
Yeah, yeah, right, sure, right. Berger.
Yeah, I was there for a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
Very nice, quiet town. Very peaceful. It was a day in June.
Beautiful.
Very, very laid back.
Yeah, but it was beautiful there.
Yeah, and the canal, a beautiful canal there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I used to go skating on that canal.
Yeah.
So when I came to Chicago,
yeah.
I was going into the 10th grade,
uh-huh.
Second year high school, and they did not have a full 4-year yeshiva high school. They had just begun the yeshiva high school, I think, 2 years before that. They were going into their 3rd year.
Yeah.
And the Yeshiva High School was in the Yeshiva building.
Was Rav Kreisworth there yet?
No, he wasn't there yet.
Uh-huh.
Not then. Neither was Reb Rogoff.
Uh-huh.
They were not there because it was just, this was Mamish taken right after the war.
Uh-huh.
So, when I came there, so they suggest, you know how the Yeshiva had two programs. They had the Yeshiva. They had the Yeshiva High School, so you learned in the morning and you went to, you had high school in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then they had, most of the Bochrim, they went to public high school,
mm-hmm.
and then they came to the Yeshiva like 3-4 in the afternoon. They
uh-huh.
went from till 4 to 8.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so when I came there, since I had come from a public high school, so they figured that I would want to continue in a public high school.
Uh-huh.
So they sent me over to a high school. It was a walking distance of the Yeshiva, maybe a 12-15 minute walk.
Uh-huh.
It was, I came from a high school that had maybe 1,200 students in Ottawa.
Yeah.
This was a high school that had between 5,000 and 6,000.
Wow.
All Yidden.
All Yidden.
And I didn't know one single person there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what happened was they gave me an entrance exam.
Yeah.
And, I failed, I flunked the math.
Uh-huh.
Because, you see, they had a different system in Canada.
Yeah.
In Canada, when you took math in high school, so you took a third of a year, the first 9th grade, you took a third of a year.
Uh-huh.
Algebra, a third of a year. Geometry,
uh-huh.
a third of a year, I don't know, trigonometry.
Yeah.
And then following years, you added, you know, to each
area. From each area. Uh-huh.
Whereas in Chicago, and
it's like
how the way it is now, you had first year all algebra,
right?
Second year, so
geometry, and then trigonometry.
Right. So they tested me in algebra.
Right.
I didn't know enough algebra.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted me to go back to 9th grade.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't want to repeat the 9th grade anyway.
Yeah.
So I said, I didn't know if I wanted to go to a huge, a huge school.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know one single person there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I decided I wanted to go to the Yeshiva High School.
Right.
So I went to the Yeshiva High School. I went into the 10th grade. And I think they might have had an 11th grade that year.
Mm-hmm.
And but they didn't have a graduating class even.
Mm-hmm.
I went into the 10th grade. And we, it was small classes. We had 12, 13, 14. And it was co-ed.
Mm.
had girls in our class.
Oh, in the yeshiva high school.
Yeshiva high school. Oh. I mean, the whole yeshiva high school rayon in the Midwest in Chicago was a chiddush gadol. Imagine that. It didn't, I think, in 1944 is when they started.
Uh-huh.
Before that, there was no such thing as a yeshiva high school.
So I came from a ghetto.
Yeah. So what happened was I went into a shir there. Grada, that Rebbe, who was the 10th grade Rebbe, he's the only Rebbe that I have that's still living.
Uh-huh.
He's in that talking in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael.
His name?
Silver is his name, David Silver. Uh-huh. Where is that Yerushalayim? By the gun.
By the gun.
So that, listen to, you'll hear the level of what the learning was in those days.
Mm-hmm.
The 10th grade, the second year Masifta, was only Gemara and Rashi.
No Tosfos.
Maybe an odd Tosfos.
Mm-hmm.
The third year Masifta was more Tosfos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth year, we learned all the Tosfos.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so what happened was, I was in that 10th grade, I was in there for maybe 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the mice, like it's a Mordek mice, I've told this over dozens of times. What did we learn when I was in Talmud Torah in Ottawa? What do we do if you don't spend a lot of time on, we didn't learn Mishnayos, we learned the Gemara, like I say, starting from the 10, when we were 10 years old, for 2 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
We used to learn Chumash and Rashi.
Right.
And Novi and Rashi.
Right.
And I knew I could read Rashi like you say Ashrei.
Right.
So I came into the shir. This whole shir was Gemara and Rashi.
Right.
So I didn't belong there. I knew Rashi. Rashi was nothing.
Yeah.
So I got skipped to the 11th grade shir. And I was with, and the other kids in the shir most of them were from the local yeshiva Ktana.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's like, I guess maybe nowadays also kids don't do well so well with Rashi's because they don't concentrate on it. They start with Mishnayos right away and everything.
Well, my time, sometimes with us, they were very, very heavy concentrate on basics.
Yeah.
A lot of work was put into very basic stuff, which was very, I didn't, you know, when you're a kid, you don't realize what's going on. But afterwards, I see now today, I learned with people who are younger than me, who didn't go through that, I start telling what Rashi says, Dikduk Rashi, they look at me like I'm crazy, you learned that.
Yeah.
I said, why not? That's part of Rashi.
Right. So that was the, that was it. So then, I was in that, shir, and then I stayed there for, I was in that high school for 3 years, and I graduated.
Yeah.
Graduated in high school, but it was very, we used to learn from,
let's wait a second. I wanted to just check the tape once to see if it's running.
And we used to end, the day ended at 5:30. I don't remember. The Limudi Kodesh wasn't that long, and Gemara certainly wasn't that much time. We learned Chumash again, and Historia and Ivrit and Dikduk and, all these things.
Yeah.
And a night Seder, there was no such thing. We were free from 5:30. Used to be like this. We finished our high school program at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
The Beis Medrash program was also, I don't even know, that first year I came, I don't think there was any shir for Beis Medrash in the morning. All the shir were in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Late afternoon. So Beis Medrash used to start at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
They had from 4 to 5, they used to have Novi or something like that. Then from 5 to 6, they made a laning. 6 to 8, they had a shear, and 8 o'clock was supper.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the out of towners, anyway.
Yeah.
So, we were free from 5:30 till 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We had no dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
There was no dormitory. We used to board with families,
mm-hmm.
but we ate in the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing, we drayed the chamamish. We played. We used to play from 5:30 till 8 o'clock till supper time, unless you didn't want to eat supper.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no ashgocha. At all. We lived with a family. The family didn't have any. First of all, the families we lived with, that I lived with, they weren't even Shomer Shabbos. They didn't have enough Shomer Shabbos mishpachas to house or that wanted to have bochri. So they didn't make it pay any attention. You come in when you want, you go out when you want, But it wasn't. We always went to sleep on time.
Mm-hmm.
We always got up early. There was no need for any ashgacha.
Mm-hmm. Self-made.
What is that?
Self-discipline.
Yeah, yeah. It was all different. His mom was a different generation. And the summers we were off, I say, so there was no yeshiva in the summer.
Uh-huh.
And that was after high school.
Yeah.
That was till the end of high school.
Yeah.
Then we had. So let me see.
We're 1950 now.
We're 1950, right. Now the 12th grade.
Yeah.
Let me just think now. The 12th grade, I had. That was. Let's see, I came in 46. So I went into 12th grade in 48. That year, I had Reb Mendel Kaplan.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You heard of
he's very Mendel. Good friends with my Mechutin.
Who's your Mechutin?
Rabbi Aaron Florence.
Is with his father, you mean?
Mendel Kaplan? What's the father's name?
No, Mendel Kaplan, but not with your Mechutin's father.
Right, right. Oh. No, my Mechutin.
Well, your Mechutin is...
He was in Shanghai.
Oh, your Mechutin. That's your Mechutin in Shanghai?
Yeah.
How's your Mechutin?
His son married my daughter.
Wait, what's his son's name?
Yitzchak.
No, I know another Florence, and maybe an older brother.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of brothers. There's seven brothers.
Oh.
Shmuel is the oldest. And there's a whole bunch of others.
Sure. And you know, so you must have heard about him.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so
he's like a monsieur. Very, very highly respect to him.
Yeah, he was just fresh from Shanghai.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I think he was, and he taught for a year in one of the yeshivas katanas, I think the 8th grade. And he had a brother who taught the 12th grade.
Uh-huh.
He taught the 12th grade in the yeshiva. So his brother got him in to teach the first year bismedrash.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in the, you know, because I was ahead a year, so my last year of high school, I was in the first year bismedrash year.
Mm-hmm.
He was just fresh from Shanghai, and he was the one that made the revolution in Chicago, in the yeshiva.
He was the one.
He was tremendous. I mean, he almost opened up our eyes.
He seemed to be such a mild person, from the way you described him.
Yeah, well, he was mild, but he was very, he was a tremendous pikeya.
Right.
And he really got to the bachrim.
Right.
And he had it was a tough, very, very tough, we were so rochug from having any shaykhs to what anything was. It was, I remember he introduced us the idea of something being a shtus.
Uh-huh.
And I remember we used to go around this, we were kids, shtus this, shtus that,
Yeah.
So the whole concept of something being a shtus was foreign.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but the men were so amazed, the shir used to be, at least half the shir used to be shmusing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was during the week on Sunday morning. Kamat never learned anything. It was just straight 3.5-4 hours of shmusing.
Mm-hmm.
About America and about Europe and about anything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
He would have a very, very major hashpoah.
He was also from Baranovich, I think. Right?
Yeah, he was a Baranovich.
Yeah. There's another one. I have another mechutz from Baranovich.
Yeah.
Also from the same clique.
Yeah.
Polanski, Elio Polanski was Mifta.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's not my mechutz, he's my mechutz's father.
Yeah.
But they were very best friends with Rabbi Florence, and this also Rabbi Mendel Kaplan.
So we had him. I had him for 1 year, and that was for the last year of high school, and then also for the. I had him for 2 years. I had him for the first year. Bismedrash. I don't. I think I'm mixing things up.
That's all right.
Let's see if I had him for the. I had him in the.
This is not a history per se.
I had him in the 12th grade, and I had him the first year after high school.
Uh-huh.
And of course, after high school, he went to college.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
But you see, when he came,
yeah.
That's when they first. Well, you know this. You know the Kagans.
From, you mean Sheryl Tegelnova's show?
Right.
I know them very well. I mean, knew Sheryl very well.
Their father was in Chicago when I came.
Oh, yeah? He was R.J. James now for a while.
Right, 1946. He was just there for 1 year.
Yeah.
So he had a shear in the morning.
Uh-huh.
He had the only shear there was in the yeshiva in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
All the shear were at night.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, when I got into... When I went to my second year of Remendel,
mm-hmm.
So we were going to school, but we went to school at night. The yeshiva was in the morning.
They didn't have a yeshiva college then?
No. We went to regular, there was a junior college, like maybe 5-6 blocks away from the yeshiva. Herzl, it's called Herzl Junior College. That's where all the Bohrim went.
I had a Jewish name,
Herzl. Yeah. And so everybody went to college.
Yeah, I understand. I'm also from when everybody went to college.
But anyway, he had on a shpoh, Remendel Kaplan had a shpoh on a couple of Bohrim that he convinced them not to go to college.
Wow.
And one of them was the president of the yeshiva's son. The Rav that was in Ottawa was the vice president of one. The day I came to Chicago was Levaya, the president, and he became the president.
Uh-huh.
And he was a Muslim from Chicago yeshiva. He was a big masmi, but you know, they were the more modern.
I mean, Muslim from a Chicago yeshiva. Right. That Muslim?
Oh yeah, lots of them.
Oh, yeah?
The whole Midwest was full of rabbonim with Muslim from Chicago yeshiva.
Which yeshiva was that? This one?
This one, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so and he had a feeling that he didn't go to college, and another Bocher or so didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us went. But we went at night,
mm-hmm.
as we used to be in the yeshiva in the morning.
Yeah.
Until, I don't know, were we there in the afternoon a little bit too? Maybe a little bit in the afternoon.
It's like we're in Brooklyn, we used to go to Brooklyn College.
Right.
From Tervidas.
But we went in the evening, like we used to leave the yeshiva like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I wonder, I don't remember what kind of a second, if we had a second Seder, or what we had in the afternoon, I don't recall. But anyway, that was, that was him, and then we had him for 2 years, and then they came, and then we were by Rav Roga for 2 years, and then, they just came then, and I think in 1947, maybe, or 48, they became into the yeshiva, Rav Roga, Rav Kaplan,
mm-hmm.
and then in 48, Chrysler came.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think 48 or 49, 48, you know. And after we had 2 years of Rogoff, then there was a whole set of shiurim in the morning. In other words, you could go all the way through in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the parallel set in the evening, not necessarily the same Rashi Yeshiva, but you know, some one or two were the same, the rest were different ones. And that was his, that's what he introduced, pushed very hard. This sort of, by the way, the Bocher I'm telling about, whose father was the president, is Chaim Fassman.
I heard of him.
The coil in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Anyway, so his father pushed very much that there should be, the Bocher should learn in the morning.
And is his father still with him?
Yeah. He's like Mustama 95.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
Well, there's a family, my brother-in-law has a chutzpah in Chicago, very rich guy, Bellows.
Yeah, Shoal Bellows.
Yeah. He was in my class in YU.
Oh, Shoal?
Yeah.
Shoal himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big beer to me.
Yeah, I know. I was by him for a couple of years ago. We had a bris.
So you're friendly with him?
Yeah, he's friendly with him, but not, you know, not because he's a friendly guy. When I see him, you know, we reminisce a little bit. That's about it. But I have a lot of friends I don't bother with because I have no time for them. It gets out of hand. You can only cultivate about 2 or 3 people. After that, it becomes unmanageable.
Yeah.
I can't even keep up track of my relatives.
So then we went to Kreisler, and he also had a spore in a different sense. You know, he was a you know, a charismatic person,
yeah,
a powerful speaker and a yeah, personality. And so I was talking about him for 2 years.
Yeah.
Then as I'm getting back, now I'm getting to what it's going to be again.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And after that, the normal procedure was that you learn Yoruba.
Uh-huh.
Yoruba, there was the one who said the Yoruba shear's name was Kaganov.
Sounds familiar, I don't know why.
Yeah, he has...
Philadelphia, something like that,
right? Right, he had a son, he had a grandson who was in Philadelphia, had one of the day schools there, and also at Rabbanus, and now he's in New York. And in fact, amazing thing, I have a daughter living in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
So they made a bar mitzvah, like...
What's her name?
Hauser. That he made a bar mitzvah, when was it? I don't know, a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I go in, it was in the Koilo there, you know, the lakewood of the Koilo there.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, so I meet them, so they got a few new Yungalite that just came in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, I talk to him, say, now you tell me his name is Kaganov.
Uh-huh.
Found out I learned by his Elter Zeta.
Uh-huh.
That was the one who taught the Yerdeish year.
Uh-huh.
So what happened is we started the Yoruba-ish year, but they didn't learn Hulin before.
Uh-huh.
All you did, they learned straight Yoruba anyway. We were very upset. There was a group of us that were very upset.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't want to learn Yoruba.
It was like a smicha program.
Right, it was a smicha program. We wanted to learn whatever the yeshiva was learning, and we said we'll learn Hulin on our own, and Yoruba, we'll learn Hulin Yoruba on our own anyway. So I guess they were masking, whoever was in authority, they was masking to let us do it. There was about, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us.
Yeah.
One of them was Barrel Wine.
Uh-huh.
There was anyway, so we started learning on our own. But, you know, so the morning was no problem, you know. We learned with everybody else until the shift of the afternoon became a problem. So I don't know who made the arrangements anyway, but Reb Mendel Kaplan was like our shoyl meishiv in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we learned in a room, you know, behind the besmedish, because the afternoon the chevra that came from high, you know, from college, you know, were in the besmedish. And this went on for a while. But the emphasis, a few of these, there were 8, I think, or 10 of us, a few of these were continued school. We had already graduated college.
Uh-huh.
And they continued in graduate school.
Uh-huh.
But a few of us wanted to learn all day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but we got up geschwach because you know...
That was,
no, yeah, and you see, how much more did we learn? They went to school at night. How much more did we learn after they left? We used to go to 5 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so then we learned with the younger Bachrim, and then it got potted away the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. So you lose your cheshek, you don't see your accomplishments, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't recall now how this, I think this Chaim Fassman had left already. I don't remember exactly the connection, but he got in touch with Choshev Yid, Reb Meir Mintz.
Oh yeah, I heard about him.
Yeah, Reb Meir Mintz. Anyway, he was in Lakewood, Meir Mintz at the time, and he got in touch with him, and Reb Meir Mintz got 2 Bachrim to come to Chicago to be Machazikas.
Wow.
Who was they? They were Yitzhak Wasserman, you know, from Denver.
I don't know him personally, but I heard of him.
Yeah, he's one of them. And Beryl Eichenstein.
Him I don't know.
Beryl Eichenstein, he was for many years with Elephant in...
Itri,
and then he split, and he became Split 3.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, I remember that.
And the last 10 and 11 years, he was Rav here in Bell Harbor.
Uh-huh.
The Shtiebel, now he moved back to Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so the 2 of them came. I see, he was from St. Louis originally. But anyway, the 2 of them came. They came right before Purim, I think. And they were Machazikas. And But they only stayed until Pesach. And that's when I saw that if I wanted to learn all day,
yeah,
this wasn't, I couldn't do it in Chicago.
Uh-huh. That was, the drift, the stream was running the other direction.
Right, you know, and it was just, there wasn't a...
Facing.
There wasn't a sweeper for somebody to sit and learn all day.
The support system wasn't there.
Right, so, right, exactly. So I went, so I made up my mind, I'm going to go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Remendel Kaplan advised me to go to the Beis HaTalmud. Why? Because it was, there were the mirror, that was his chevra.
Right.
You know, and anyway, when I came, so I, what did I do? I didn't know what I was going to do exactly, so I packed up all my things. It was a very, very tremendous soyan for me to leave, because I'd been there for 8.5 years, and I was a mahubit in the yeshiva, with all the bachrim, and I knew people in the community, and, you know, it was nagei, I was 22 years old.
Uh-huh.
Over 22, I was 22 and a half.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was nagei yeshiva, I was very well known, and nagei yeshiva, and everything. But anyway, I don't know, I felt I have to go.
By the way, I think you knew my other Adam, Friedman, Yitzchak Friedman from Muncie. Was he in your time?
Yitzchak Friedman.
In Long Beach.
Yeah, sure, Yitzchak Friedman.
Yeah.
What was his father's name?
Yeshua.
Yeshua, right, sure. Yitzchak Friedman is what, your Adam?
Yeah.
No, come on.
Why not?
Where does he live in? He used to live in Baltimore.
He lives right now in Flatbush, near the Brooklyn Yeshiva Brooklyn.
Oh, he used to live in Borough Park, didn't he?
Right, he used to live on 41st Street.
Yeah, Yitzi, sure.
Yeah, he used to go to Derech Chaim.
Uh-huh.
But now he's in Chinuch.
What is he doing?
He teaches in what's the Svadish Yeshiva, got the name.
Where?
Right there in Flatbush. The Haber is a...
Shari Torah.
Shari Torah. And my daughter teaches there, too.
Oh, and I have an Adam that's there.
Oh, yeah? What's his name?
His name is Kipper.
He probably knows him. I don't know.
But he's not in Yeshiva Gufa. They have a morning koil and a night koil.
No, he teaches elementary school.
Yeah, and he's in charge of the koiling, my Adam.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. Rabbi Haber is happens to be indirectly Mishpacha. That's what Yitzi's doing. Very nice. She's an Adelie in the mind.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
They have six children and beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
They just made a bar mitzvah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When?
In April, right after Pesach. Because I wrote the schedule on for the Michas Chinuch. I gave it to him.
I stayed by Naftali Hirsch.
I see his name in the newspaper.
Yeah, right.
Advertisements.
Yeah. So he was, he originally was from Chicago, and I was very close to the family. And so I took my stuff and I left it there.
Yeah.
And I went to see, I don't know who suggested it, I'm not sure, I don't remember this now, but I went to see this Reb Meir Mintz.
Uh-huh.
Because he had, sinned. And he was, I think at that time he had moved to Borough Park, because that the
what year are we again?
What?
What year are we in now?
Now we're in 55.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm just trying to think now. What was the name of it? Torres Emes.
Uh-huh. Right.
Torres Emes, the commonest Masifta.
Right.
Masifta.
Right.
He started the Masifta.
Uh-huh.
And so he was, I know he was in Borough Park. I don't know if he was living there, but anyway, I met him in Borough Park.
Yeah.
I was talking to him, and he told me, not the place for you, Beis HaTalmud.
Uh-huh.
You don't know how right he was. I would have been devastated there. I mean, you know, it was all Europe. No American Bachar.
Uh-huh.
Here, not Stalman. I'm coming from Chicago, and I barely knew how to learn a Tosfos.
Uh-huh.
You know, I said, go to Beis HaTalmud. He says you have to go to Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so he took me up to Byron.
Uh-huh. So, we're in New York.
In New York, right, in his apartment in Borough Park.
Uh-huh.
And Borough Hashem, he didn't give me a fire hair.
Uh-huh.
I saw him, you know, for a few minutes, and I don't even remember now what the conversation was. It was a very
superficial.
What?
Superficial.
Yeah, superficial. A very short too, I'm sure. And he said, I should come to the yeshiva.
What was the impression you got from that encounter?
I don't have any impression, really, any significant impression from that encounter. So I left my stuff there by the Hershes. I went home to Canada for Pesach. I came back to Lakewood, and that's how I ended up in Lakewood. And of course, in those years, anybody could get into Lakewood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there was nobody, they had no Talmidim.
Wow.
When I came, that Pesach was, that was Pesach of 55. That was Tovshin Tesvov. And I don't know, I think there were maybe, all together with the Yom Kippur, maybe 60 people in the yeshiva.
So how are you, Mr. Dare over there?
Don't ask, anyway. But listen, I think that's another segment, no?
Yeah, for us, we're going, we're moving. We're moving, this is important.
Came there, and they were both there, this Wasserman and Eichenstein.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned with Eichenstein in the morning, and I learned with, they set me up with a chabu. You know who I learned with, Taka, second Seder? Chaim Krasovsky.
Chaim Krasovsky? I know the Krasovsky.
Ruben Krasovsky's son.
Uh-huh. I don't know him. Is he still living?
What? No, he was nifter. It was about a year and a half.
Oh, I think he used to come here a lot.
Yeah, he has two children there.
Yeah.
So,
Well, yeah, his son, I think, has a yeshiva here now.
Yeah, he started a yeshiva here.
Yeah.
His name, I think.
I think his name is Baruch Ber.
Yeah, Baruch Ber is his son, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In fact, I drove him and his wife to the hospital in New York when this bear was born.
Uh-huh.
I borrowed a car from somebody in the mine. That was another episode. But anyway, so I learned with this bear, Eichenstein, first Seder, and I learned with time was only second Seder. And I'll tell you, that's where the Kamaisa. Let me see, was it? Calm now. Anyway, I learned in a back room in the old Bismeders on 6th and Forest.
Before my time.
Before your time, yeah, 6th and Forest. There was a small, little building there with the ground floor was Bismeders.
I think it was 7th and Forest.
7th, I'm sorry, 7th and Forest, right.
I remember the building. It was a dormitory when I got here.
Right, and the downstairs of Bismeders, the upper two floors were a dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they had like two little sort of, they had a porch. It was a porch in front of the building, and at either end of the porch was a little enclosed area.
Mm-hmm.
So on one side of that closed area was the Rosh Yeshiva's room.
Yeah.
We used to sit there and learn there. And the other side was, it used to be a Viber Shul and the Shabbos or whatever, but I learned there. I'll never forget, we used to Shtelzach on a Shaila, something in the learning. So he used to say, let's go into the Bismeders and see what the Olam says about it. But, because everybody held in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Kamat in the same place, Mamish. And that used to be, the Iker, Aor is in the Sugya. Everybody stelled it on, and then he used to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Speak and learning with everybody. So, but I remember then I used to say to him, how do you know? This was amazing. This is how the level of learning in Chicago was so schwach. How do you know that this is what the Olam is going to shtel zahan? Maybe they'll shtel zahan something else.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I didn't understand what the, how to take up the, how to go to a sugya.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though that I wasn't a young, I was 22 and a half then.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so, the learning in Chicago was so superficial. I mean, I remember Rav Rogav Shir. He used to say over Rishonim Acharonim, we used to write down on the side of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Never, ever looked into a Rishon ourselves. Never opened the Siwuros, never looked at it, never chazered it, except when it was a Bechina. We looked down, we looked to see what we wrote on the side. Mm-hmm. But never the dream, I mean, I'll never forget, they came, there was, I forgot their name, the two brothers, they put out us tours.
I probably have them, but I don't know who they are.
Well, I forgot them. One of them's a rug up in White Lake, I think. About
White Lake?
Yeah, yeah. The other one's a boy. I never got married. I forgot their names. Anyway, they came around. They, you know, they printed one or two volumes, and they wanted people to buy the whole set. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this way they'd be able to print the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So I remember saying to each other, like, well, what are we going to buy them for? Who's ever going to look into them?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. We never looked at the Rush. Who would look at a Rush? Nothing. I mean, it was so much.
That surprised me.
It was, you have to know like this.
Because I was in YU, and of course he looked at Rush.
Well, you're talking about 20 years later.
Yeah.
You know, you have to know this was Chicago, uh-huh. And Chicago was 20 years behind wherever New York was. They still are behind now.
It reminds me of the picture of the New Yorker's view of America.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go see on the Hudson River,
yeah.
And then you go to California, there's nothing in between.
So that was the beginning of it. I mean, and then I was what it is when you're, I was 22 and a half years old.
Yeah.
I mean, there were no young kids in the yeshiva then. I mean, there were bachrim there, 20 years old, you know, 20, 21.
Yeah.
You know, but to come into a place and it's like, you feel like you're starting all over again.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I don't know, I had a very, very tough, you know,
initiation.
Struggle, you know, to be able to not lose my chesed. There were a lot of Europes in the yeshiva.
Yeah.
Not only in the life, but Bochrim. I remember the first time I came into the dining room. You know what happens when you come to a strange place and you're not excited about it, or you're not. You see all the.
Foy booth.
Right, the mud and the zachen, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. I looked at the Bochrim, this one looked mud, and that one looked mud, and I got such a.
Let down.
Kalisha's right, let down Kalisha's Adas from it.
Mm.
But, you know, I sat at the, you know, we used to sit at the same seat in the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
The table, so I sat at the table with, it was Yankel Schiff.
Uh huh.
You know Yankel
Schiff? Oh, yeah. I don't know him personally, but I heard so much about him.
And Rublev,
Rodkin.
Not Rodkin, no, Rublev, Philadelphia. He's the 12th grader.
I interviewed him. His son built the building over here.
Yeah.
Rocky Tau.
Tau, I believe Tau.
Yeah.
He was at the table there, and they used to fight and learning all the time, and I didn't know what they were talking about even.
Yeah.
But it was very, very much. It was so very hard. And I'll tell you, this is a vice.
Yeah.
It's for the books.
Yeah.
The first Friday night,
yeah.
I was in Yeshiva.
Yeah.
You have to know like this. In Chicago, in New York, but certainly in the Midwest, Lakewood, people looked at Lakewood like it was from, from 2 centuries ago.
Right.
You know, it was, every bocher there was there with the Mohammed.
Uh-huh.
You know, the parents didn't want them there. Come on,
right.
Every single
right,
one.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm sitting Friday night in the basement. You know, there's a half secret to a couple of Shabbos
right,
fires.
Right.
Anyway, a younger man taps me on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Did you go to college here?
Yeah.
I say, oh, they're going to lynch me.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, what was Nageya? Nageya like this. They wanted to start the cheder. Lakewood.
Yeah.
It was called Anche Svarad.
I was there. My kids went there.
Where? To what?
To the, they went to the... My kids were like one of the first grades after that.
Uh-huh.
Like, like it started, you know.
What year are you talking about?
I was in 66.
Oh, this was 55.
I understand, but you know who was there, Mr. Penza?
Who?
Was it Mr. Penza there? Leah Label Penza?
No.
I forgot, Wechselbaum?
Well, Wechselbaum, yeah.
Yeah, and some other people, I forgot the name.
Yeah, yeah. So, they want, what was the Misa? They needed, the Cheder needed somebody to be...
An English principal.
Right. And I had a degree in education.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, so I applied to New Jersey, and I got a temporary license.
Uh-huh.
Not that I did it. I guess maybe I had to sign some things. I don't know what they needed me for. I never stepped into the.
Need an official person.
They needed an official person, I guess. That was
a Rav Mitam.
Huh?
A Rav Mitam.
Yeah, that was I mean, at the first minute, it was harrowing. Then you know who it was that tapped me on the shoulder.
No.
Rebellious Shvei's brother, David Shvei.
I don't know him.
You heard of it?
I've heard, but not much.
He's not living. He was never.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he became blind in his later years. And so that was, you know, so I learned, then I remember, I'm trying to remember this also I remember very, very clearly. I'm not sure it was the second spot I was here, maybe.
A lot of people told me about how the Russian Shiva thought you should fear on Mochamtei Shalteira.
Like,
at that, he was in war. When he was learning, when he was giving the Shia, it was like a battle. If somebody they had to butt in, and he started to yell at them, and they said, fight. And
yeah, but nobody butted in. Not in my time.
Oh, no?
The one who used to butt in was...
Moshe Eisenman, yeah.
But not in my time. He wasn't there anymore.
Oh, no.
He used to come around, because he'd started his yeshiva in Dine.
Right.
So he used to come around at night sometimes. I think he said a chabura for some bachrim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he wasn't at the shiurim.
Yeah.
And I think it was maybe the second zman I was there. I was chavuzas with Yisrael Meir Kagan.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Used to prepare.
Yeah.
To
be his chavuza.
Yeah, I used to prepare at night. I used to prepare the gemara so I'd be able to...
You know Shaul Kagel? Shaul.
Yeah, sure. Shaul, very well. And I always used to try to figure out what are we going to shtel zechan with him also.
Uh-huh.
And I also missed the mark most of the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, these especially do with like... I remember it was specifically, it was with Gittin, with Messina, with Lishmach. I don't know. There was Raya's and Yuki from Rashi. Yeah? Oh, it was, you can't imagine how fight we were in. I mean, coming from Chicago, fight we were. But I want to go back to something else, just to give you an idea. You know, the whole Musik of, you know, Gunson, you know, involved in learning,
yeah,
making that as your Iker. Was a very, very difficult adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wanted to learn, and I bet as I came, my schedule when I came to Lake was to learn for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think I would stay there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was this pressure, I mean, peer pressure.
Yeah.
And, you know, the learning is everything, and learning is the Iker, and, you know, it was a struggle. It was, you know, a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to, you know, and you have your ups and your downs. And this is something I'll never forget. It's very indirect, but to me, I guess, the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal represented this Metzius of being Kulei Osuk in Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess his Metzius, I imagine, and conjuring this, you know.
Yeah, that's important. You conjure is what we're here.
That then it must have been very made a major, major impact, and that was what caused the struggle. And I was fighting this, you know, this is what we were fighting. Somebody represents this, and it's powerful.
He represented it as the only reality that existed.
Right. Not that had nothing to do with the shmoozing or shurim or anything. I mean, chutz all that.
It's just what he represented.
Right.
So I used to look. Yeah.
I used to look to find chisroinus in him.
Uh-huh.
But where did I look? Where am I going to find it? How am I going to look? I was the only place I was used to be looked to find chisroinus is Shabbos. He used to eat with the oilam.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured if I'll see that he eats like doesn't eat edel, you know, and all that, I would. That would be a bunkum to
find the chasar.
Right. But Lamaisa, I pushed it the way, it just did the opposite. Because the way he ate, you felt like he wasn't even aware that he was eating. It was just like a zach that he had to go through, and
the malachim by a roof.
Yeah. And he used to eat little bites.
Mm-hmm.
Take little bites and never finish what was on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really made a tremendous roishim on me.
Another thing that in some of the conversations that talks about these kind of things with him, it wasn't like he did it aus der Frumkeit. He did it because nothing else really mattered to him.
Right.
It didn't matter. It's not like I'm doing this because I have to be religious.
Right.
I do because this.
Yeah, that's what Shiva said.
It really meant nothing to him.
Yeah. I don't think, I remember maybe years later, I don't recall being impressed when I first met him at the Rosh Hashanah in his apartment. But I remember years later, after a few years, he used to go in by bus all the time to New York.
Very regular.
But they didn't have the Hamisha bus either.
Right.
And until finally, this Bachman made a gansak, see it, it's not right, and this and that, and he's getting older and so on. And when they got a car, the Bachman used to drive him in.
Right.
And so he used to go, when we drove him in, when we ended up in this apartment, he used to have supper there. I remember how he lived in Amish Tzabruch in the bookcases. He had no Svarim.
Yeah, they just told me he didn't even have a Seder Rambam, his own. He had to borrow from somebody.
I know that he used to, he borrowed, whenever he needed a Sefer, he used to borrow from my Shver. My Shver lived right next door to him.
What was his name?
Shamshin Rafael Weiss.
Yeah, somebody just told me about, the Schwartzman told me about him.
Yeah, which Schwartzman?
Dvulin.
So he was next. He was the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
He lived in the apartment building. Yeah. The apartment building was owned by one of the Balabatim of Yeshiva.
What?
The apartment building he lived in was owned by one of the Balabatim of Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
Forgot which one it was. And so my share lived right next door. The house next door to it. My
share had
a building for him. What?
What street was that on?
On 15th Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Shver lived 4715.
In the 47th Street.
Right. So I think his was 47 by Shver.
I think that the Rebbetzin was there for a while.
Afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, and they have some minion there.
Yeah, a minion, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And, so I know he used to. That's right. He didn't have any. And, he didn't have. I don't know if any. How many of the chairs matched each other?
Uh-huh.
Dining room table, Mama's
no stumble. He didn't have an interior decorator.
And that was the house. So anyway, but that was my first. It was very hard the first 2 years till I got to know the oilam. They were different. They grew up. They came. In Chicago, it was a different story. There were. Besides the local Bachrim, who were not real yeshivish either.
Yeah.
But then there were a lot of out-of-towners from the Midwest, from Indiana, from, the different, was Wisconsin,
yeah.
Michigan.
And Milwaukee, you had people.
Milwaukee we had, yeah. We had from Indianapolis, from South Bend.
South Bend.
Fort Wayne.
Uh-huh.
From, where are the Green Bay Packers?
Green Bay, right.
Wisconsin. Green Bay, we had I still in touch with this bulker. This young man from Green Bay.
Oh, no, it's very cold over there.
Yeah. And, so, but you know, I came in Lakewood till I got to, they were all New Yorkers. Come on to everybody. And they lied. So I didn't feel comfortable.
It's like an outsider.
For 2 years, they didn't feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
Like an outsider, right? Much like an outsider. Not that the island was cold necessarily.
Just for the cultural
was,
fish.
Yeah, there was a culture, right? That right. There was a cultural difference.
Yeah.
They were in those years. Most of the Bokrim were the Yaakov Yosef.
Right.
You know, and they had, you know, I don't know. They came with a little, and they were a little bit younger, and that was also hard. I was older, and they were younger, and. You know, they knew more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was very, very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, after 2 years, you get to know the oilum gets to know you, and
get comfortable.
You feel, yeah, it was much more comfortable.
And then some new people came in, so you're the older for them. So I can say, oh, that's a new one.
Yeah, but they were very imam and shechidim that used to come in.
Uh huh.
Very, very.
One by one.
I had a little, but we didn't have any real shaychus with the Rishivas Atzal,
mm-hmm.
on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you felt an affinity to him.
Mm-hmm.
So you felt that you felt a closeness.
Mm-hmm.
What it is, you just felt that he was mamish.
Concerned,
and even though, we never saw him most of the time. I mean, that you must have heard from the others. You know what his schedule was. He was never there.
Yeah. Well, he used to come like a Monday, Thursday.
He used to come either Thursday night or Friday morning.
Right.
And then he left either Sunday after the shear,
right.
Or once in a while, he used to be a second shear on Monday, and then he left after the shear.
Some people used to tell me how they used to look forward for him to come.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was like an anticipation.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We look forward to the shear. You know why?
Right.
Because on the morning of the shear was a humid apogra. Because the shear was 12 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So the seder was a half a seder.
Uh-huh.
And then after the shear, the shear was over 1 o'clock. And normally the seder went till a quarter to 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, so after the shear, there was nothing to do either. I mean, unless you want to chazer the shear, but very few people did.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was like a break.
Mm-hmm.
Not a day of a shear was like a break, and then even before the shear, if you looked at the Mar Mekoymus,
yeah.
I used to be spoiled from the shiurim, mamish.
Yeah.
I mamish. I used to listen to those shiurim.
But that was very hard to follow him.
It was very, very hard, extremely hard. But I used to write over the shiurim after the shear.
Uh-huh.
But I was only able to write over the shiurim because I followed the Mar Mekoymus. I couldn't write Bishas Maisa.
Uh-huh.
But you know, if you follow the Mar Mekoymus.
You
remember the Hemsha.
Mm-hmm.
But I never worked on it. I don't know if I really understood them anyway. You know, but you write over what you hear.
Right.
And but I used to be spoiled sometimes the way it would die the heck if I would be able to be Yashiv, you know, Ashriya Rambam and this and I used to feel that was the heroism it made on me that
Bitiyas
HaTorah.
He was able to ma'achad the Kol Teres Kula.
Right, and you felt that you felt that it was emes.
Uh-huh.
The Torah was emes, that everything had a mahalach. That was without working on the Munah, without really understanding what he said.
Uh-huh.
But just the way, you know, I guess maybe my mind used to work that way. I used to be able to follow the binyan.
Uh-huh, structure.
The structure of it, right. And the structure was
Magnificent,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know, you know what I mean? I lost all those notes. I don't know whatever happened to them. I had for a couple of years. You only had the notes on the...
But they have now, they do these Mishnah Sarabah now.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
books. And I have a lot of them. I never look at them myself by the time.
Yeah, it's hard to look at them.
It's not hard to look. I don't have time to look at them.
It's also, you know, it's a very, very long sometimes. But I looked at it quite a bit sometimes. We're learning those in Yonim, you know.
Yeah.
I glance here or there, try to pick out things, you know. But, you know, he used to say...
I was by his Leviathan in that you saw.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That made a big impression.
Uh-huh.
And I just always tell over this mindset. I was staying by the cave, actually, by where they put the earth in.
Yeah.
And that night, I was in Karen Biavna at that time.
Uh-huh.
And we went back on a truck. And I said to my friend, I said, you know, this year, it was a big drought that year.
Uh-huh.
And that's a very big drought. I mean, for me, it was like, it didn't rain. It was like a lot of, it was very stressed. There was no rain. So I said, you know, this year now? I said, watch, it's going to rain tonight. Got home. So the guy laughed at me. Said, how are you talking? Said, let's see. We went home. It rained for 3 days in a row without stop. That night, so I didn't know what was going on. I said, "Look, you see, that's how it works." So, a few years later, I was back in Tarvadas. So I said, "Work there." So I was friends with Rabbi Rivlin. So I told him the mindset. He says, "Yeah." He says, "You know, they put a shmata on it, a linen thing, a school." I said, "I didn't know about the school, but I said, just from being there, that's what did it." He had such a widespread recognition as being the Gadol HaDor was overwhelming. I mean, everybody just recognized him.
See, it's interesting how it was obvious. Marshall, I was exposed to Rav Kreisworth. For 2 years, and I was in the shir, and I was used to meet by him Shabbosis. And then there was a bacher that lived in Chicago that learned in Neir Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come back, you know, Ben Asmani, and he always used to work on to get bacherim from Chicago to go to Neir Yisrael. He held those a mitzvah to take them out of Chicago.
That's all the fashions.
Yeah, right. Anyway, he said, he worked. Anyway, finally, a couple of us, we said, okay, we're going to go for a few weeks in the summer. So we went in the summer, and we were there. We stayed there 3 weeks, and Reb Ruderman was there, you know.
He will be a fantastic guy.
Oh, unbelievable. But I want to tell you that the Reb Aaron, I don't know what it was, but you just sensed that he was head and shoulders above anybody that we were ever exposed to. I'm not only with Reb Moshe or Reb Yankov, but I didn't really have any, you know.
So everybody said what you just said was Muskim, even among those people. They looked at him with tremendous height.
Yeah.
The ears are covered.
And you know something that we used to joke about, you know, that in those years, the communications that we have nowadays didn't exist. So, you know, Tells was its own little world, and there you saw with their own little world, and they thought that that Ruderman was the Gadol HaDor.
Right.
And tells, I guess, whoever about your mayor.
Right.
You know, and we used to, by us, it was, we used to feel they were so, you know, klein shtetl dick. You know, that they don't seem to.
You were in the palace of the emperor.
Yeah. And so we understood that the Rosh Yeshiva Zal wasn't in the same Bechina. The Chazon Ish,
uh-huh.
Or the Briskerov.
Uh-huh.
How we knew that, I don't know. I never saw the Briskerov, and I never saw the Chazon Ish. I don't know, we just had that hergish, maybe,
right.
Because they were Kula, you know, Usuk and learning, and he was they say, I never heard him say it. I don't think I ever heard him say it, but I remember hearing from people who heard the Shiva Zatzal say that, you know, he wasn't Zoyche. It would be like the Brisker Rav or the Chazoinish that he could just sit and learn, you know. He was also getting all kind of the Tziburdik as
right.
Saw him.
Right. Right. Chasma was very big.
Chasmoy, I mean, and then the Lakewood itself, you know.
Yeah. And also Tom Messiah, they said he was.
Yeah, Tom Messiah and the Akudas Rabbonim and the Akuda.
But the Brisker Rav had a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I heard Rabbi Hollander told me about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
David Hollander?
Yeah, he was here.
You in touch with him recently?
I was talking to him about a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
How's he doing?
He's
about 90.
He's 90 already?
According to the internet, he is.
According to what?
The internet.
Yeah?
Yeah. And he has a shul. Down in Brighton Beach.
He's
right
here. He's
right
in Brighton.
Yeah, yeah.
Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, I spoke him on the phone because he was here and he spoke about the chayim that they put out against the Board of Rabbis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he spoke about the whole incident in the Brunswick Hotel with Mavaran and somebody else who said something not nice and the whole. He had a lot of experience.
He's like an interesting fellow.
He went to the Brisker Rav with a letter from Baron to sign, to be masked to what they're... So the Brisker says, can I sign such a paper? He says, I can say, he asked me, I should sign on a paper the Chazar is safe. It's positive. Yeah, so that's, but he had a lot of respect for Baron.
He's very so interesting, this David Hollander.
Yeah.
I used to go visit him when for the first year or two.
He needs a lot of, he likes people to talk to him.
Yeah.
He needs a lot
he
of physics.
Stories and my
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't well for a while, his wife. Now I guess maybe she's better now.
So they
call him and visit him.
They invited him to Lakewood, and he spoke, and the young Buffenberg crowded around him, and he went to talk, and he stood up with them till 2 in the morning,
yeah.
On a Mazda Shabbos.
He was talking Mamish, a lion, you know.
It's a Lechem. He fought against everything, that, like the world said this, and he said, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
He stood up for things, which is... I observed him myself over the years, and I was always having respect how he stood up against all these forces.
Tom wanted he had no children, you know.
I didn't know that.
What?
I didn't know that he had no children.
He was a schwager with Moshe Scherer.
Oh, yeah?
They married two sisters.
Oh, I know that.
He was president of the RCA at one time.
Right, he told me about that.
Yeah.
That's just what was in New Brunswick over here. In the hotel. The Brunswick Hotel. Yeah. So, could you just give me a little final blast?
I'll tell you an interesting... I spent... this must have been four or five weeks with the Rosh Hashanah in Miami Beach.
Uh-huh. Oh,
I used to go there in the winters.
Do you know the mice? They say mice. I don't know if it's true. You know Yankel Sivjak?
Yeah.
He once told a Maisa about the Fountain Blue Hotel. Rabban, they asked him, told him this cost $100 a night to stay there, so they asked him, why would somebody pay that? You know that Maisa?
No.
And the story goes that, stories usually get corrupted, but this is the way I heard it. So they said, they told Rabban that somebody pays $100 to sleep in that hotel. So he said, they quit. Why would somebody pay so much money to sleep in such a hotel? Why could he get there already? So he said, from the Gevir, Lechtzim Kofim Kishn, Atach Tzadich, as our man can't do the Shlofim. You never heard that?
I heard similar thing, but I never heard it from the Rosh Yeshivas. That's all.
I didn't hear from him either.
I heard that nusach bechlal. They say over that. That's the Noah of a Gevir.
Yeah.
But I never heard it from him.
Because you were in Florida, I said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
used to go, you know, the last few years of his life, he used to go to Florida in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the year that I went with him, he wasn't feeling so well. So instead of staying like...
What year was that?
Yeah. I mean, it's know, when they put the, you know, they have these black mishnayos, you know.
Oh, that's old.
Yeah, old, yeah. I mean,
that's old.
A goy, and he was a goy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so.
How could that be? Yeah.
Why not?
A goy wrote mishnayos.
Translated mishnayos.
No.
No?
I don't think it was. I don't think so. No. I can look it up, but...
Check it out. Check it out.
I'd be very surprised.
Yeah. I think it was Blackman. No, it's old.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
No.
You know, see, I was trained... This is very interesting when you mention this. Our training was, in Tarvadas at the time, was never to use a crutch. It's like a child learns how to ride a bicycle. They have these wheels, training wheels. He said, you can only use that for a very short time. After that, you gotta get on the bike, you have to get on, you have to practice. You fall down, you get up, you fall down, you get up, you fall down, you get up, and then you ride the bike. And that's how we were trained to learn everything that way. All the way through. And in fact, I've told this people, they don't believe it, they don't understand it. I said, when I was telling that a Rebbe would never get up by the blackboard and make a diagram. They told it was like faith. Can't do that. A visual aid? Chas v'shalom. You had to have the, between the difference between television and radio. I brought up on radio most of my life. You had to build a picture of what's going on in your mind. You had to concentrate. And he said this, and you had to make a picture of it in your mind. So the same thing. When you learn, you have to use your mind and construct the picture of what's going on. No diagrams. But nowadays, they have a million errors, and they have a diagram for that, they have a diagram for this. Cool. Well, everything's with diagrams. But, you know, but they say maybe the diagrams have a reader. You have to do it that way.
Yeah, it's like it bothers me very much, too, this whole, and I'm not even sure. Well, diagrams, one thing I was thinking about, a different thing about the models they have.
Michigan,
you know, all these things, whether better maybe just to have in your imagination.
The trouble is people lose the power of tzir in their mind.
Right.
If you don't practice it, you lose it. But then on the other hand, you could say that maybe this generation needs that. So maybe you can't just make it away so fast. Maybe it is a help. Like a lot of people nowadays, I see the Oscar Gemaras are used all over the place. Like I would pick up only in desperation. But I see people now, especially since the Daf Yomi got so popular. How are you going to learn the Daf of Day? So you take the Oscar and you read the Oscar. So I'm a learned at this. But I was not trained that way. I was trained that you have to do it on your own and break your head into pieces.
Uh-huh. It worked on Rishonim.
Right. It's a hard job. Well, it takes time.
It takes time, and then when you do see the Acharonim, it's a whole different appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if you don't work on something, you don't have any...
Darmelis. That's one thing I was very impressed with what they said about Rav Aaron. He demanded the total amelus potential. Somebody didn't use up all this koiches to work something out. It was an atlas, and he said that atlas itself is bittel Torah.
Yeah, right. That's what his family used to always say, eches.
Yeah.
Bittel Torah and eches.
Right. You have to, it's a sort of like a little terror, you don't learn superficial, you don't try, but my rabbis, they taught us that way, that you have to, I mean, at least I absorb it that way, that anytime it comes to Gemara, it's like a struggle, you have to fight your way through. Don't go ask somebody what it, you work on it again. I just heard a tape from Mechel Lefkowitz from Bnei Brak.
Yeah.
He has a shtickle, beautiful, I called this shtickle on the thing, from Leva Achim. It's called Am Medushne Oinek. He says, and Shiras, Am Medushne Oinek, and Morgan Elvis says, Am, he says, what is Am Medushne Oinek? He says like this, as Mezetz by a Gemara, Mitzah Chavuse, and Mehetan Lane in the Gemara, and Mekenish the Ivra, and my gate zibim, my land the Rashi, my face statements, my land the Tais, my statements, and my gate, it says, from Himmel, from the Boishalem, get that runter, the Pshat, Das is am bedushnei einig. Das is chetz. Das is doshein. Das, he said, das is mein olam abba. So he said, nein, das is olam abba. He had a little piece like that. It was very enjoyable.
Chzeinish? The simcha of the simchas hatayra.
Is
when you start a sugya.
Yeah.
It's choishach.
Right.
And slowly it gets clearer and clearer. That's the late simcha katoras hasveikus.
Yeah, that's a saying.
Yeah.
I saw today of Darach Chaim from Moshe Chaim Lutzato. He talks about how the bunch made everything inside like a coal. It's outside. You don't have, but you work on it. You get the flame out of it. He says, and thus the ganze tachlis abriya. He said that's the tachlis abriya because Akashba puts it in, and he wants you to extract it. And that extraction, he says, that is the whole purpose of the creation of the world. That's what he says. I saw that today.
Yeah. The other, you know, the main thing I think that has impressed me all the years is, like, I spent those 5 weeks at least in Florida that time,
mm-hmm.
and I went with the Rosh Hashanah to an Aguda convention,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't have one mashahu. I don't know what the right correct word to call it, shtick. You know, he was like
famous.
I mean, like he didn't put on anything. And you're a Talmud, you know, in front of a Talmud, nothing. He was always the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard this before.
Mamishup is it was weird.
He told me that. Maybe you're the one.
What?
I heard a tape from F. Yisrael, who just nifty, he was a very good speaker in Ivrit, Sardish. What's his name? He was learning here, I think.
Oh, Nissan Yagain.
Yeah.
He was fired, Nissan Yagain.
He said he knows somebody who went traveling with Rosh Hashiva,
yeah.
and he observed him and all kinds of myself. And he said he didn't change in any matter. Was that you?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
He said about, he talked about, he didn't say who it was.
Yeah.
And he told of them that Hagar was always the same, no matter where he was.
You know, he always says over a Meiser, Lazar Stefanski.
Yeah.
Somebody, I don't know when he was together with Rosh or what, in London, in the airport, in the train station.
Yeah.
There were thousands of people milling around.
Yeah.
It was time to daven, and he put on his talis and fill him like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Mamisha was in the front of the whole, you know, we used to go into a telephone booth.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there wasn't any of that, I don't know. But, it was talking like, it was Toyche Kibaro.
Yeah.
I always tell over this thing, you know, I had a car there. We rented a car because I had to take the Rishivas. One time he used to make an official formal visit to Bentheim.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Bentheim was there. Uh-huh. I remember, I'll never forget, the Rebbetzin brushed his lapels, you know, and fixed them up a little bit because, you know, Bentheim was
dignified,
yeah. Mm. I don't remember. He that's another thing, too. He never excluded you. If you were with him, he never excluded you from anything, unless it was momish, a personal thing.
Right.
You could be there.
Yeah, but Shmuel Bluch told me that.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, I don't know why, I don't remember. He went to visit the Satmar Rav.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. But, and then they had to, but you don't know, there was no Yoim. This was in Miami Beach, there was no Yoim in the whole island.
Mm-hmm.
From early in the morning till 1-2 o'clock in the night, there was calls and calls and calls of people coming. And, you know, and Eretz Yisrael used to call already 1 o'clock in the morning. They used to call because it was 8 o'clock over there.
It was a physical strain beside mental.
What?
It was a physical strain.
Yeah, I mean, and you felt tremendous tension.
Mm-hmm.
In the tent, tremendous tension, except Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Shabbos was unbelievable, Menucha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared. compared to the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mower.
Yeah. I remember even in Florida, he had a bedroom, his own bedroom. Mm-hmm. But when I was with him in the Aguda convention, mm-hmm. we slept in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
He caught it, put on his pajamas or whatever. You know, I don't remember exactly how he did it, but he did it. You know, he didn't go in and hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Iglesias Stefan, who slept with him for weeks and weeks, maybe mm-hmm. months, in the dormitory there in the, mm-hmm. in the old dining room building.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a car there
yeah.
in Miami, and the car was for to take him for places, also to take the reference to shopping, mm-hmm. and to take her out for a drive.
Mm-hmm.
Never failed every single day, from the day we came to the day we left. To go to the door of the apartment, I would wait for her to go out. She wouldn't walk out unless I walked out before her.
Mm-hmm.
Bacher learning.
Mm-hmm.
Is very nice. Yeah. I mean, that's how you say that. That's she. If that was her, she was. She dealt before what his she was.
Mm-hmm.
But. I don't have time to, who knows what went on in those 5 weeks. I mean, I should have kept a diary. It would have been an oyster.
You don't have always presence of mind to do things like that.
Right, yeah, you don't appreciate. We didn't appreciate
what you had in front of you.
One thing I can I'll always remember too, that one night. I don't want to say the name, a Russian shiva came over. Friday night after the Suda.
Mm-hmm.
He was also had a place in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they were schmoozing, Mysa here, and the Revitson.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this Rosh Shiva sat over a Mysa from the altar from Slobodka.
Mm-hmm.
After he left, this is probably what made us such a. After he left, he took me by the arm, and he said that I walked hand in hand with the altar from Slobodka, and such a thing could never have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be that such a life.
Didn't believe it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, he was very much knocking when he said over anything at all.
That's the MS
kind. Yeah, the MS kind. Yeah. That was his. I mean, that was his whole. I mean, you look at the Shmuzin. Do you ever look at the Shmuzin?
I never look at anything.
Aye, come on.
Never look at anything. I don't read anything.
That you have to look. Mishnah Rabban, you have to look.
I know, but the trouble is this.
Yeah, you have to learn.
I learn according to, I'm chronological. I start with the basics, and I go through Rishonim. And then, if I finish all the Rishonim, I say, okay, which Achron should I learn
now?
No,
I'm not talking about Achron. I'm talking about the Shmuzin.
I tell you, that to me, that's a category called Musa.
Musa, right.
Okay, so I once went to the Mashgiach from Nosson.
Yeah.
He called me in.
Yeah.
And I was under the impression that he was just calling in people from town to see the... calling in people. I had a list, and he's calling in the people. So he called me and he says, to learn some Musher. I said, I was a wise guy. He said, what's the Musa? So he says, Musa is Mesilas Yesharim, Shari Tshuva, and Chavis Alvos. So I said, yeah, okay. So I walked out, and that's it. I said, he told me to learn that, and I'll learn that. So I went over that. Went over once, twice. I said, that's a big job. So how can I have this fixation. Whatever I'm doing, I have to finish what the first generation did, and then I'll go to the next one. So once in a while, I hop these other things. I just hop, look here, look there. And I said to myself, I didn't finish the Rambam from cover to cover. What am I going to look at? It's hard. It's very hard. To get to, did I learn Shas with Taisvis? No. Did I learn all the Mishnayos? I turned all the pages. So we gotta learn it. So how can you do everything? So people tell me, you can't do everything. So I have 15 sturm a day. 5 minutes this, 5 minutes that, 10 minutes that. So I can't get up to it. I can't get up to it. That's the really truth. But I observe and I see and I hear. And, these other things are just like, it's like paparoi sochokma. Otherwise,
how? You're spending a lot of time.
What do you mean?
On these here recordings.
Oh, that's my mishigas. that's my mishigas. Everybody has to have a mishigas.
Right.
This is my mishigas.
Okay.
I had an Einfeld 2 years ago. I said, you know, there's a lot of people around. You gotta find what they have to say before, you know. So I'm going around now. This more, what I'm doing now is much more difficult than learning. Much more difficult. Learning is much easier. Sit down in a room and it's comfortable. And you sit and learn big more. Nobody gives you a hard time.